Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to look at the halachas of comforting mourners, Nechum Avelim. This is Siman Reish Zion 207 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Let's jump straight in. The laws of comforting the bereaved. How do we know that there is a mitzvah of a Nechum Avelim, of comforting the mournings? The one reason is because Hashem himself did it, as it's described that when it came to pass at the death of Avram Avinu, Avram blesses his son Yitzchak. This blessing is Nechum Avelim. Additionally, the way the Rambam understands it is this is an expression of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. Comforting mourners is an act of kindness, both to the living and the deceased. When should one speak when one visits a Beis HaAvel? The halacha, which most people do not know, is one is not allowed to speak to the mourner until they have been acknowledged by the mourner, which means that the Avel is considered Ein Lo Peh, does not have a mouth, and until they open up their mouth and acknowledge the person visiting them, they must remain silent and just listen. And if the person who is an Avelos decides to remain silent the entire time, so be it. We learn this from Eov when it comes to how his friends related to him and the difficult suffering that he'd been through. What should comforters do if the mourner shows that he wants them to leave? So let's say it becomes obvious that the mourner is exhausted. The mourner just needs space. They must leave right away, and they should not be allowed to stay against the mourner's wishes. And this can be subtle. The mourner may not say go, but there may just be a body language. People need to be sensitive to the needs of the mourners. They're not there for themselves. They're not there to be seen. They are there for the needs of the Avel. One may perform Nechum Avelim over the phone. So Moshe Feinstein points out in one of his responses that there are two dimensions to Nechum Avelim. There's comforting the relatives, giving them a psychological lift, and there's also the spiritual uplifting of the neshama. He points out that whereas the first of these goals, the comforting of the relatives, may be achieved on the phone, the second may not be achieved unless it is in person when it comes to the uplifting of the neshama. And therefore, if one is able to go, one should not be calling on the phone. If one's in a different country and cannot go, then one may call. It's better than nothing, but it's certainly not the full thing. What expressions should a person avoid saying in a Beis Avel? So a person should avoid saying, "Oy, what can you do? It's impossible to change what Hashem has done," because that implies that if it were possible, one could change it, which is really, in a certain sense, blasphemy. Instead, one should accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decrees with love. What is actually said at the Nechum Avelim? So in the Ashkenazi tradition is to say, "Amakom Yanachem Eschem Besoich Shar Avelim Tzniv Yerushalayim." May the omnipresent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is found everywhere, give you comfort among the mourners of Zion and Jerusalem. And the Sefaradim have the minhag to say, "Min ha-shamayim tenachamu," from the heavens you will be comforted. Why is this phrase used? Why is the Ashkenazi phrase used of Eschem, you in plural? So if there's a few reasons. One is because when the Avelim, when the mourners are together as a family, despite differences over the years, that itself is a comfort. And number two is the pain of the neshama. The soul is also present in the house of mourning. And when one says, "Amalkum Yerachem Eschem," one forgets that the mourner is also going through a period of din, of judgment. And there's a great amount of comfort that they're offering them as well. So worthwhile noting that also the word Hamakom, which refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the context of all place, this also relates to the notion that there was, as the Maseches Smachos, one of the small Masechtos in Shas describes, there were two gates in Jerusalem that when people come to the Beis Hamikdash, the Avelim and the Chasanim, those who are just experienced loss and those who are just about to celebrate a Simcha, would stand by, and when people left the Beis Hamikdash, they'd pass them and they would greet them the specific tidings, which relates to the idea of Hamakom, not just Hashem, who is the context of a place, but even from the place of Yerushalayim itself, where Hashem's Shechina is felt, that should be a sense of comfort. And we say that as a vestige of this on a Friday night when the Avelim come into Shul after the Kabbalah's Shabbos. Now, move to the second idea, and that is the laws of mourners. So is a mourner or a sick person required to stand up for a great leader, a great Torah scholar who enters into the house? The answer is no. A mourner or a sick person is not required to rise even before the Nasi, even before the leader of the generation. Can the Nasi tell him to sit? So the answer is, generally speaking, a Nasi is able to do so, but not to an Avel or to a sick person, because it implies sit in your illness or sit in your Avelos, and that is not appropriate. What expressions should a mourner avoid saying themselves? So they should be very careful to say something like, I have not been punished sufficiently for my deeds, because it is a shas din, it is a time of judgment upon them, and one does not want to evoke the satan by taking this kitrug, taking this criticism to the bank. So one has to be very careful. We move to the third concept today, and that is the halachas in a base oval in the mourning house. Where should the mourners observe the mourning and why? So they should mourn in the place where the deceased soul departed, in the house of where the deceased passed away, if that is possible. A lot of times people pass away in hospital, and it's not possible. But the reason is because the soul grieves there, and it's a place, therefore, it finds comfort. What's the custom regarding the tefillah in a base ovel? So it's a mitzvah to daven in the base ovel with a minyan in the morning and the evening. The ovel may count towards the minyan, and this is considered a consolation for the soul as well. A sefer Torah should be brought to the base oval, but a place should be set aside for it. So bringing it in a talis is not sufficient. There needs to be a specific closet or cabinet, an aron, which is brought with it, because that is not, otherwise it's not sufficient respect for the sefer Torah. If there is a triage between a base ovel where there's a mourner or one without a mourner, where should the minyan be made? So ironically, if there's two deaths which occur and aren't enough men in the town to make two separate minyanim, the prayer should be in the house without the mourner, because then in that case it's even more necessary for the neshama to have a chizuk, which is counterintuitive to our thinking, but that's so important to realize. Now, in the davening of the in a base oval, there are a few additions and omissions. Let's look at them. What is added in the base oval? So these are the things which are added. We add at the end of the davening the Mizmor 49, which is Memtes, which is Navetzachim Nekorach Mizmor, which is all about the futility of amassing possessions in this life as well, followed by an extra Kaddish as well. There's a difference as to where, there's a discussion as to when the Kaddish goes. The halacha that we should follow is that we place that right after the Shir Shal Yom and don't make a Kaddish between them. It's two Tehillims, and therefore goes together as well. At Ma'ariv, it'll go Aleinu Kaddish, and then Mizmor, and then another Kaddish, because Aleinu is a prayer, and not the Tehillim, and then Tehillim, and then the Kaddish. On days where Tachanun is not recited, then this Mizmor Memtes 49 is supplanted by Tes Zion number 16, which is Michtam LaDavid, instead as well. What is omitted? What is left out in the base of Avel? So the Avel themselves does not say the Parshas Akedah and all the Korbanos other than the Tamid. Also, the Birkas Kohanim is not recited in the Chazaras Hashatz, the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei. No Tachanun is recited in the base of Avel. This is Shas Adin. It's considered a time of judgment. So we do not recite this. We do not say Kel Erech Apayim right before Vayibin Sa'aron. And we do not say all the Yirotzons following the Kriyas Torah being lifted up. And finally, we do not say Laman Tzach Mizmor David, which is that Mizmor Chof, which is said towards the end of davening. And we skip one of the lines in Uvon Etzion Goel, which is Anizos Brisi, which is the second line, which is not said in the Beis Avel. What about Rosh Chodesh and on Chanukah? So the minag, there's different minag when it comes to this, but the predominant minag is that for the community, those making the minyan, to say the halal, but the avel steps out and does not say the halal themselves. The avel should also not lead Musaf on Rosh Chodesh in the house of mourning. He would say it to himself, but he would not be the one to lead it. What about when there are slichos? The avel may be the shliach tzibur for slichos. Most of the slichos are recited as usual, but the concluding sections after the first three pesukim of Shema Kolenu are omitted, and there afterwards is omitted as well. But Avinu Malkeinu is said. What about the special brachas for Birkas HaMazon? So there's what's called the idea of the special brachas which are made in the house of mourning. But generally speaking, the Kitzur points out that these are not so applicable today because they are only said when 10 people are eating together. It's not so common in these circumstances. With this, we conclude the Siman Reish Zayin 207, which is about the noise of comforting mourners. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful, meaningful day.